Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Stupid, because that sounded really official and I don't think it's... Okay. Welcome to We Have No... Oh, fuck me. Welcome to We Have No Strong Feelings About Harry Potter.
Hey, guess what? It's Tom Walker here.
And I'm also Tom Walker.
Alongside Demi Lardner.
And I'm Tom Walker.
And we are addressing the period of Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone that lays betwixt the princely sum of 52 minutes and 51 seconds and 58 minutes and 27 seconds. That's right, just shy of an hour lies this little island of time.
Oh, not an hour. I couldn't possibly... Oh no, I'm too shy of it.
This
I couldn't possibly.
Demi, we open up on a verdant green field where children are about to learn how to fly with scant supervision and almost zero safety measures.
Yeah. And up approaches Lady Booze.
Yeah, her name is Madame Hooch, and she is described in the book as having yellow, hawk-like eyes.
Yeah, and we just got to take a break to watch our cat do a big piss.
Yeah, we're watching
Let's see if he gets it in the tray today.
Litter tray.
For yesterday, when we took the lid off of his litter tray just to see if we could give him any more room to fit his face
no,
in.
No, he's lifting his ass up.
Please don't piss on the floor. Please don't piss on the floor.
Please.
Please. Oh, my God, I don't think he's going to piss on the floor. Oh,
yeah, but
thank
I think it's
Christ.
Because he's pissing on the wall of his litter
yeah,
tray.
I know, but that's because he's too big.
He's
Yesterday,
too big.
He had started pissing into the sand, and then as the force of his piss lifted his butt off the ground, his little penis twitches while the urine
his
comes
awful
out.
Awful tiny dick.
Right, and he hits his face on the roof of the shithole. And
yeah, so, like, he's supposed to be so graceful, but our cat has only disgraced himself.
Yeah, he's just, I finish. Make water come out of little wiggly ass.
I love to piss.
And now I'm out of Torbit.
Yes.
So yesterday he started pissing, started with his little penis close to the piss rocks. And then as he was doing it, I guess like the force of it coming out of his little wiggly penis kind of like made him raise his butt in the air. And he started pissing outside of the toilet and into his drinking fountain.
Yeah. If you want a visual for it, I guess it's kind of like those aqua jet packs that people use to shoot themselves up into the air over
exactly like that.
But instead of just shooting harmlessly into the lake, he's pissing awfully into his drinking fountain, which we then had to empty out.
Yeah,
and
then
wipe
clean
the floor.
Floor
a lot.
It was great. Thank you for giving me sand to stand in while I piss on the place where you live and walk.
We start this in a flying lesson, Demi.
Mm-hmm.
It is run by Madame Hooch, who is in the books is described as having yellow hawk-like eyes.
Mm-hmm.
It is unclear why she has those. Humans do not have those. She is not revealed to be of extra-human origin or supernatural origin.
Not
she
revealed
does,
to be, yeah.
No, but Zoe Wanamaker is wearing contact lenses to that effect in the film.
Well, I would say, you know, hawk-like eyes, she's the flying teacher, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, she's good at flying, something to do with birds. But also I think sometimes J.K. Rowling was just like, I don't know, this person's weird.
Yeah, this person's
magic.
Cool. Listen, a few pages have gone by without something cool happening.
Yeah.
This person has hawk-like eyes and a cloaca.
What if
she has just one hole, okay?
What if she had said hawk-like eyes and then you saw a picture of Madame Hooch and it was a human face with two bird faces coming out of her eye sockets like and she didn't.
I like that.
And so she has four eyes because they're all bird eyes.
That makes her so functional.
Faces. Yeah.
She can see so far away.
That's so interesting because two prey animals on your face makes you the ultimate predator animal because they can see in like every direction because their necks are moving.
You're right. But because she has two predator animals, she's actually a little bit worse predator than a regular hawk.
Oh,
she's reaching out with hands.
Yeah. I made a mistake.
You did make a mistake. I did make a mistake. But that's okay.
So hawks have front ways eyes?
No, they have eyes on the side that go all around.
So those are prey eyes though, is what I'm saying. Because bird eyes are like prey eyes because they're on the side to see predators.
Yes.
It's still prey eyes, but it is a predator.
Yeah, all birds have prey eyes because all birds are subject to the whims of the sky.
Yeah.
You know, you got to watch out for a cloud.
Yeah, that's where God lives.
Yeah.
Puts those clouds in the way.
You got to make sure that you don't accidentally run into God's flat.
Yeah. God fucking hates birds. That's one thing they won't tell you in the Bibble.
Yeah.
B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I hate those fucking birds I made. The B-I-B-L-E.
In the beginning, there was nothing, and that was better than when there were birds. all the children are left on the field with Madame Hooch. I will say I've watched the behind-the-scenes featurettes, and in this scene, the director of these first two movies says with, like, you can hear the battle scars in his voice. He's like, this was the first scene where I said action, and the kids didn't do anything, and I felt myself pause and be like, oh, no. And I had to explain to them that action meant start. As like a film director, it was his first big scene with like, you know, there are about 20 children in this. Yeah. And there's a lot of other extras in the first scene they shot, which is like the first scene they shot was that Hogwarts scene.
Yeah.
Not the Hogwarts scene, but like the scene at the end of the movie when the Hogwarts Express is being loaded up with Hagrid.
Mm.
But this scene was very early on in the shooting schedule.
Wait, sorry.
Yes.
What? You just said that the Hogwarts Express was being loaded up with Hagrid?
You know
we poured all of the Haggy mints.
You scared the cats so much.
We filled the train. We packed it with as much Hagrid as we could. We thumbed the Hagrid through the windows of the Hoggy Spressy.
We got four carriages of me and it's still not enough. The bordellos of London crave more Hagrid and they're taking it by the barrelful.
I don't know what you...
So at the end of the film, there is a moment where the Hogwarts Express...
We're not talking about the end of the film.
Okay. I am just saying that this is not the first scene they filmed, but it is one of the first scenes they filmed.
Mm-hmm.
And in that vein, and this is one of the scenes where he describes having to teach the children that action, what action, what cut, what sound speed, what all those things mean. I think it's just an interesting thing, remembering that these are children.
Literal children, and not all of them are like, you know, acty children. Their mums are living vicariously through them. They already know what action means.
Most of them have not been in a movie before. Daniel Radcliffe had been in one film before.
Oh, what was it?
What was it? It was like David Copperfield. It was David Copperfield.
Magician movie?
I believe that David Copperfield took his name from a Charles Dickens thing.
I thought David Copperfield was a magician.
He is a magician. Separate to that, he is also maybe...
So it's a Dickens movie.
Yeah, 1990 film. It's a Charles Dickens... 1999. It's an adaptation of Charles Dickens' 1850 novel of the same name.
Okay. Oh, there he is. Looks yucky.
Yeah. But yeah, this was what Daniel Radcliffe was in, his first time. It's what led to him being cast in this film when the director saw him in this after like executing a nationwide search for the Harry because J.K. Rowling was specific that it'd only be British. And he said, why don't we have like a Daniel Radcliffe type character? And the casting director, desperate for a break, was like, okay, let's bring in Daniel Radcliffe.
I mean, good.
Yeah.
Daniel Radcliffe.
You're right. There was actually, oh man, the producer of this movie. Okay, so are you ready for a Daniel Radcliffe fact?
Would love.
So his family.
Wait. Let me get one of them Dan facts.
Oh, is it Radcliffe or is it Sloss?
It's Radcliffe.
Okay. This is a Daniel Radcliffe fact.
A Dan fact.
Mark Radcliffe, Daniel's father, is a film producer. And that was kind of his in to movies. Mark Radcliffe is actually an executive producer on this film. And his family didn't want him involved in this film because they were scared of the impact that being in this larger franchise would have on a young child actor, Daniel Radcliffe. Then the producer of this film sat in front of the Radcliffes at a play. And this is them talking about this in one of the extra featurettes. The producer is talking about this. He's like, yeah, I kept turning around. Just to look at Daniel. I don't remember much of the play because I kept turning around just to look at this boy. And then it cuts to a talking head of Daniel who's like, yeah, he sat in front of us at a play, kept looking at me.
That's a cool way to let them know that fame won't change their boy.
Yeah. It doesn't. Hey, oh, this being looked at doesn't feel good. Oh, I bet you'll enjoy 10 years of servitude to fucking Warner Brothers. Get in here. Get in here, be a wizard.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, his family, like, eventually were worn down by the producer who, at that dinner, like, at the play, talked to Daniel Radcliffe's dad and convinced him, basically, that he should be in this film because it will be good.
Yeah, I mean, good on them.
But also creepy for a guy just to keep come to looking a play a to boy. Stare at your boy.
Yeah. Can I have a gander at your boy? I was sitting in front of another boy and didn't like my papers on him. I was looking through me eye smellers.
Oh, look at me. The meat in a boy's sandwich. Boys in the front of me and boys to the back. And here I am stuck in the middle with my tendencies.
I was trying to use me looking fingers to see touch this boy I was sitting in front of. And they did not like it. Not one bit nearly alike, had they? For me doing that.
We ended up with, anyway, to get back to the film, I got us off track. We're in a flying lesson, Demi, with Madame Hooch.
Madame Hooch comes in. I guess she's trying to play it like, you know, stern, but I guess all I really get is stern. She walks up and she's like, I am Madame Hooch. Well, what are you waiting for? And which is not that unlikable because she's not being super, like, you know, when you hear Snape. Like, Snape walks in, there will be no silly wand waving or blah, 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 blah in my class. Madame Hooch comes in and is just, like, over it. Seems like she just fucking hates her job.
Yeah.
Well, what are you waiting for? You to teach us how to fly.
Yeah.
Magic's new to me. Parents are both dead.
Please, I want you to tell me how to get up there safely, because all I know is how to get up there and then down onto me bonce, don't I?
I love your bonds.
Thanks. She is listed on the Harry Potter Wikia as being adept in broomology, which is, of course, the study of brooms.
No.
Man, how likely is it that they have access to the full font of human creation and still the broom is what they ride along on?
It's like the fact that they don't have any, like, Nokia 3310s and they only have owls.
Do you think that the broom being, like, used as transport is kind of a society-wide version of, like, oh, fuck, what's the name for that thing? It's like a design anachronism. It's the reason that, like, the calculator on your iPhone has the same features as a calculator in real life. Like, it's not the most ideal way of doing it.
But like a race just car stuck bed. In their ways. Like a race car bed for, like, me who used to sleep in their car and I'm like, I don't know how to sleep unless I'm in a car. So I got a race car bed.
Listen, not exactly.
Is that kind of what you mean? But for society?
I guess.
You mean when my family kicked me out and I slept in my car for a bit.
I guess.
So then after that, after I stopped sleeping in my car, I got a race car bed and I was like, this feels right.
Yeah.
Because I was still in a car, so it was easier to sleep because I just knew that I was in some kind of vehicle.
Okay, what you're talking about.
Yes.
Is.
Yeah.
What you're talking about is being weaned off a very sad period of your life into a happy period of your life.
Okay.
And what
I wasn't happy.
Okay. Hey, Demi.
Yeah.
At what point does a flying broom stop being a broom and start being a flying stick? because it seems like all they want is a stick and it maintains some of the features of a broom, but there's no reason for it to maintain those features.
There's no reason it should be shaped like a broom, because I remember the like the Nimbus 2001. No, the wait. Yeah, I think the Nimbus 2001s have like – they don't even really have bristles.
Yeah.
It's kind of just the exactly. shape of like – it's like a Lego like a broom. Brush. Yeah.
It's all one piece. So when does this stop being a broom? What are the functions of having a broom?
Well, when does a car stop being a car? Is it when you put a pillow inside, when you lie down and just kind of sulk your way into a slumber?
Going through a bad time? Is it when you drive it to the open mic or when you sleep outside the front of the open mic after trying out your bits? Anyway, the children are left alive. Children are told to summon their brooms with up.
What I heard you say was the chimney left a lie. So let's talk about me. Hey, Tom, can we please talk about the chimney left a lie?
The chimney left a lie, of course, a beautiful part of the wizarding world.
Beautiful part of the wizarding world.
Gorgeous part of the wizarding world. We all adore the chimney left a lie.
Left a lie.
That, do you want to know the origin of me saying that?
What?
I misread a note that I have in my notes, which is the children are just left to die.
Anyway, the chimney left alive are there. Yeah. Madam Hooch tells them to hold a hand over their broom and say in a clear voice, up.
Yeah, which I guess I don't. Man, this is all. I hate that my brain sparks off on this, but in my head I'm like, so does that mean that their brooms are specially made and enchanted for use as flying objects? You know, they are enchanted to respond to just the word up.
I would have to think so.
Right.
Like, do we have any broom lore that says that, like, are there special brooms? Could a wizard fly on any broom? Could they fly on anything if they really wanted to? Could they fly without a broom? Could they fly on their fucking wand?
Is the broom only used because it's a convenient thing that's easy to have around your house if you have any, like, anyone who's not a wizard or witch
so
over
camouflage?
Something to explain? Yes. And if so, what else would be good?
Genco in my jeans. Mind,
oh, that's good. Just a flattened out. What if you had a pair of jeans hanging in your closet? Mm. You never wear them because, and the outside observer does not know this, but they are stiff as a board.
Oh.
And you can get on them at any point because they are reinforced the whole way down. Yeah. And so you're just riding on a pair of perfect jeans.
You're surfing on a pair of perfect jeans.
Okay, so you're riding on them with your feet horizontal across the jeans.
Yeah, you've got one on like the waistband and one on one of the flares.
That's good.
And then the sidecar for your dame is the other pant leg, and they're stiff from Dumbledore's jizz.
Okay.
That's how you get a flying jean.
Neville ends up in the air because he disobeys.
No, he doesn't. He was just fucked up. She said, mount your broom and on my whistle, kick off hard from the ground, hover for a few seconds, and then come back down. And Neville just completely fucks up.
Yeah, he goes way up. I will
say, he does not know how to stop.
No, he does not know at all. Also, in the behind-the-scenes featurettes, Neville, the actor who plays him, talks about how he was genuinely scared on the day because he'd only read the script, and then they got there, and he was like, so this is not clear because they've obviously gotten all of this out, but he is basically on the end of a crane.
God.
There, like, it is a crane that just ends in a long rod. And that long rod has been painted and had broom added to it. And then the, like, next 10 feet of rod is painted blue so as to be easy to key out of the scene. But it's just a boy getting mechanically shaken like 20 feet in the air and having to hang on.
Holy shit.
It is terrifying.
That's so fucked up.
It's fucking awful to watch. And he has the perfect coward's face to be shook that high in the air.
Director, what will we be doing today?
Shake this chubby boy high up in the air, now, far away that he does not enter my field of vision.
Now, today is the scene where we keep the unethical carnies on set. Only the ones who operate the Royal Easter Show after it's toured the major cities. Once they can afford to shuffle some homicides in.
You know, in Adelaide, we just called it the Royal Show.
Yeah, because it got to you after Easter, right?
I guess.
Anyway, Neville takes off. He's slamming against the wall. He's going on a massive joyride. Madam Hooch jumps in front of the children with her wand out, and then Commando rolls away from the children. So she is like heroic for a second, yeah, and then cowardly and like, a second after.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I was bluffing. I thought the broom would just know.
Yep. Neville took Ty up into the air by his bad, bad broom.
Yep.
It drops him onto a spire. His robe rips. That drops him onto a light fixture where his robe comes off of his arms. He lands on his wrist.
Yep.
Madam Hooch comes over, diagnoses it as broken, tuts about 7 times.
She is listed on the Harry Potter wiki as being kind-hearted because she takes him to get his wrist treated after he breaks
it. That's so nice of her.
That's so cool that a teacher would even care that a student broke his wrist under her care.
Broke his fucking wrist.
The second they turn a corner, she's memory charming him to be like, you did this to yourself, you filthy little bitch. You turned up with a broken wrist, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
She pulls his arm off and rides it away.
Genuinely, a mannequin leg would be a perfect one.
Wouldn't that be fucking awesome?
So good, eh?
Oh, that's what I would be. I mean, I think it was not the worst witch. What is it? Hocus Pocus. One of them rides a vacuum, and I thought that was very funny as a child.
That is good.
It's like a full vacuum.
Yeah, absolutely. And a huge flex if you're riding a Dyson. Oh, my God. Who's got that money to spare?
It definitely wasn't a Dyson. It was like a really shitty old Hoover or something. But I think that was Kathy Najimy that rode the...
Congrats, Kathy.
Yeah. Well done, Kathy. Oh, you all know Sister Rack Manor.
I'm trying to think about what I have around, and the closest things I have are like ironing board or like one of those rods that you like you use to straighten out your back. Maybe a buff wizard could ride a barbell around.
Oh, yeah.
But like looking around our house,
I think
house
maybe
now,
I'd ride like the cat.
Flat screen TV.
I could ride Dave. I could ride
PlayStation 4 or 5, even if we're setting it in the future optimistic.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Clue.
Hey, real quick.
Yeah.
Just real quick. The Nicolas Cage pillow that we have.
Yeah.
Your shirt is making it look like he has the most beautiful red mane of hair.
So a bit of background for the listener. Listen, I'm only human. I bought a product off of Wish.com that was advertised to me on Facebook. And it is one of those pillows that you would see at Woolworths or Kmart or whatever. I don't know. That you would see at Kmart or
Target.
Yeah, it's
made out of mayonnaise.
Yeah. But it's a glittery thing where one way sequins. It shows a design, a sequins,
yeah.
And one way it shows a design, the other way it shows.
Yeah, if you like wipe it up with your hand and the sequins go the other way, it shows like just red. The other way, it's Nicolas Cage's face. It's the most uncomfortable pillow I've ever touched in my entire life.
It feels
we
bad.
We leave it
it's
away from
bad.
Us. I knew it was going to be uncomfortable because it's fucking sequins.
I have
sequins.
To throw it out. It's very bad.
You can't throw it out. It's a sin. You can't throw out a face.
It's very good.
It's a sin to throw out a face.
It's a sin to throw out a face. It's a sin to throw out a face. It's a sin to throw. Maybe we should do a sky burial of the pillow.
That's a really good idea. Let's make a hawk eat our pillow and then die.
Yeah, come
so
over
other
here.
Hawks can eat it. It'll be like the plague.
Draco steals Neville's Remembrall.
Yeah, so Neville leaves his Remembrall. I mean, he drops it, you know, because he had a fucking crash, and then
well, presumably it was being held by the wrist that then broke.
Yeah,
which obviously, you know, you get some structural problems like that. I mean, that Remembrall will end up on the ground.
Yeah,
Draco picks it up, finds it, fat shames Neville.
Yeah,
very cool.
Maybe if he'd remembered to look at this, he would have remembered to land on his fat ass.
Yeah,
like. Dude.
Damn. Oh, maybe if he looked at the Remembrall, he'd have remembered he's dummy thick and that ass could take any amount of pounding.
You're not going to be able to sneak into Madame Pomfrey's office. The sound of his ass clapping's going to get there 10 minutes before he does.
Come on without me. Leave me here. I've got no chance, Jimmy.
So basically, Harry.
Neville turns up at the infirmary. The nurse is like, oh, got hit with a big butt curse, did you? No, this is my normal house. Oh, you lucky boy. Oh, you're walking around with a round of applause on you. Oh, not all of us are lucky to keep a standing ovation in our jeans.
Menagiotis. Anyway.
Draco steals the Remembrall.
Harry says, give it back, Draco. And then Draco does like a really fucking styling lift off on his broom.
He is killing it.
Like,
he
stands
does
on it like he's on one of the trolleys in, what is it, like San Fran or whatever, and or St. Louis. Mm. And like standing on it with one hand holding the broom, the other one holding the Remembrall. It's on an angle and he just kind of lifts off standing on side. Like, it's really cool.
It's very
cool.
It's
not even side saddle, like he's standing on the bristles.
Yeah. There's a great line reading by Hermione where she says, what an idiot, which I loved.
Harry, no, you know what Madame Hooch said. It's incredible. It's incredible how much her general like attitude and haughtiness is toned down so severely in the second movie.
Yeah. A thing that I will say, now that I've watched all of the behind the scenes things, Emma Watson, they kind of contrast Emma Watson now with interviews of Emma Watson then. And they show a thing of Emma Watson now saying like, yeah, back in that movie, I was very, I was really at pains to show that I wasn't like Hermione because I didn't want to be like her. I wanted to be like a tomboy. I wanted to be cool. In retrospect, I was absolutely like Hermione.
Yeah.
Like, that was all I was.
Constantly
but for some reason, I just didn't want to be seen as that.
There's no for some reason. Like, it's very, like, if I could just real quick get real for a second, but sure. Like, girls were constantly told that it sucked to be a girl.
Yeah.
Like, at that point, it like, tomboys were the only cool people. And not much has changed, you know? Like, if you're on set somewhere with, like, you know, dudes that are working the sound or, like, grips or, like, directors or whatever, they'll, for sure. You know, they'll constantly say, like, hey, you're cool, right? And then say some sexist bullshit. So, like...
Hey, you're cool, right? Pussies are gross.
Hey, you're cool, right? And then they cut your pussy off and throw it into the sun. And yeah. You're like, yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, it's cool.
So
I wasn't using that too.
So basically, Malfoy throws the Remembrall. Harry does an amazing catch and is seen. What?
I will say, he catches it amazingly. There is a sick moment where he tries to grab it off Malfoy, and Malfoy spins the entire. Like, spins 360. He does a full barrel roll.
No, you're remembering this wrong. Harry catches the Remembrall and does a full roll.
No. This is before he throws it. Before Draco throws it, he does a Draco does a full barrel roll.
Does he?
Before Harry tries to grab Harry tries to grab it off him.
Oh, well,
yeah, and then Harry goes like, cause it's. And then Harry whooshes past him.
And then as he catches the Remembrall, he does a full spin.
Yes.
Holds it up in the air triumphantly. McGonagall sees him through her office window.
Yeah.
And
would love to get some more information on that office, McGonagall. Maybe we could set something, a bottle episode, just within McGonagall's office.
Yeah, baby. Where's that litter tray at?
Do you think she
gonna piss in your drinking fountain, McGonagall?
Well, I'm off to fuck a male cat. I can't stop. I'm addicted to the barbs.
So, McGonagall sees him essentially.
Do you think that McGonagall identifies as a Barbie?
What?
Because she fucks awful cat penises.
Oh my god! You suck. Fucking hate you, dude. Anyway, McGonagall says, "Fuck me." McGonagall takes
shack full
swarks,
of cats.
Harry,
horny male cat.
Harry Potter, come with me. Takes
horny
him
dicks at the ready.
Walks him through Hogwarts.
Smells bad.
Takes him to Quirrell's class.
Feels worse.
Where he's teaching Defense Against the Dark Arts.
Actually, I will say I've got a note here that she
thorny the whole fucking way down.
She interrupts Quirrell.
Like a rose stem, but the other way around.
She interrupts Quirrell, who's busy teaching iguana.
What? Yeah.
Because all he's doing is holding iguana. A big lizard.
But you can hear it, like, screaming. It's so weird.
But it's screaming in not an iguana's voice.
No.
It's screaming in, like, the pack of... it's screaming like when you got a new game in the 90s and you could unpack the CD and just scroll through the sound effects.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
like, "Row, row." And so then whenever he walks in, he's just holding this iguana
holding
up to the
iguana,
class.
Yeah. Not after the class, it's during.
Up to the class.
Oh,
sorry.
Up to it. Right, I see. And McGonagall comes up and says, "Professor Quirrell, can I?" Sorry, that was a burp. "Professor Quirrell, can I? Can I borrow wood for a moment?" He's like, "Oh, yes, of course." She brings out. She brings Oliver Wood out into the corridor. Should we say friend of the show, Sean Biggerstaff plays
yeah.
Oliver Wood.
Big
I
fan.
Know. I know the lad. He's fucking awesome.
Yeah, he's. Really
I'll try.
Nice
maybe
guy.
I'll try and get him to like. I don't know. Record something for the pod. I'll talk to him or something. Do yeah. a short thing. If I can, he might be fucking sick of it.
Yeah, hey, more power to
I
him.
I would be.
If he's sick of this and wants to say fuck you and break ties with us completely, more power to him.
Yeah. So, Oliver Wood, Sean Biggerstaff, in the hallway, Wood, I have phoned you a seeker.
William.
So basically, from Harry just flagrantly defying the rules of the
yeah.
school, he's got himself a new extracurricular job. So when it's like McGonagall going to the sex ed teacher and being like, "I saw a lad getting the most marvelous wristy. Would you like to have him as the sex captain?"
Yeah, he's doing something that was explicitly flagged as being grounds for expulsion
yeah.
by a teacher after while she was escorting a child. I guess she's not going to dob him in for that because, like, in the world,
yeah,
McGonagall would go to Hooch and be like, "Why was Harry just on his broom doing that cool stuff?" And she would be like, "Oh, well, you see, a child broke their wrist under
yeah.
my care. I mean... Oh. I told him to be cool."
Anyway, and then basically the next
no,
scene.
No, let's get back to the sex captain.
Okay, yeah, all right. So Harry Potter is the sex captain.
Yeah.
Teaches
just like his
how to
father
do-
before him.
So then we see.
Is the sex captain that thing where the clitoris is darting around the stadium the whole time and
yeah,
no one
and
can see it?
No one can see it. It's really, really hard to find. Only the shortest, most 11-year-old boy on the team can find it.
We got to John Cleese saying that Harry. Would always knowing that he knew that Harry would always do well as a ghost floating through.
John
Cleese is Nearly Headless Nick.
Billy Connolly?
I'm pretty sure it's John Cleese.
I always thought it was Billy Connolly.
No.
It is John Cleese, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely
is. And it's not Billy Connolly?
Yeah, no, it's not.
Prove it to me, because I know
okay.
you're right now, but thinking of it, I was like, I always thought it was Billy Connolly.
Okay, here's an easy trick. Billy Connolly is Scottish. Nearly Headless Nick is not Scottish.
Yeah, but I've seen...
Also, that's John Cleese.
Yeah, it sure is. Hey, why is the background to your computer Crimes of Grindelwald?
Because I'm on the Harry Potter wiki.
And they just have Crimes of Grindelwald
yeah,
just on there?
Yeah, because that's Google Chrome. And
oh, hey, that fucking sucks.
It's very bad.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know why I fucking thought that. What a weird thing to think.
I have an idea why. Because you think all white men above a certain age
yeah,
are the one person.
I really can't. Well, not even above a certain age. It's usually above a certain height.
Yeah.
So Nearly Headless Nick throats past.
He's throating like crazy.
Only having half of one himself. It's really good the way that he can throat.
Yeah, it's incredible. Well, it's kind of like, I believe that Nearly Headless Nick throats the same way that skaters use a half pipe. Like he runs the dick down one side and then up the other. And then back again using gravity. The twins.
Nearly Headless Nick floats past.
Okay.
And he informs Misk Ghost.
He's just also, I guess that the horror of the afterlife in this world is that you're just constantly up to date with high school politics. Like as soon as he leaves the frame, you know, he's like, and Parvati fingered.
Parvati.
Parvati. Would you believe she's learnt to jack off?
And Screech, he had the gall to talk to Slater.
Would you believe Jughead's cool now?
So, there's a scene where, yeah, the twins are talking to him. They're beaters.
I think that none
just
of
just like Parvati.
None of, yes, very good. Really good, baby.
Thank you.
None of the ghosts in Harry Potter led a good life because they are trapped in high school for the rest of eternity. Well, and that is the worst thing I can imagine.
They've got unfinished business. I wonder if Nearly Headless Nick could cut the rest of his head off, whether he would move on. Because he could be part of the Headless Hunt.
Yeah, maybe. Or at least if, you know, someone chucked like, I don't know, 98% of a pumpkin on there.
Yeah.
Maybe he'd be through.
Yeah.
The twins are such bad actors in this next scene. I will say that whichever one of them is to the right of this scene has the
biggest, our right, screen right, I would say.
As someone who has possessed this himself, has it all the time, he has the strongest case of just don't look at the camera energy. That I've ever felt.
Absolutely.
Poor guy, like eyes darting everywhere, trying not to look directly at the most interesting thing in the room.
And you can really kind of also feel him searching for his lines in those eyes as well. Like he knows but he's like, I can't look at this one thing that is so, so shiny. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a thing. But I do think the twins, like, I think they banked so much on those twins getting hot.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the twins are attractive in the later movies.
Oh, that's good.
But starting off, they were just too weird. Like, every identical twin is fucking weird.
Yeah.
Especially the ones that, like, still look like each other. Like, wouldn't you kind of branch out into your own style?
Surely one of you would shave their head, right? Like, yeah. I mean, Lies of Loch Lomora style for those fantasy heads out there. Yeah. But, like, yeah, genuinely, I can't imagine sharing the exact same face as someone and then opting into it.
Yeah. So anyway, we see Hermione doing some nerdy outside studying with some teacher that's like, it's such a beautiful day. Why won't you do the lesson outside?
Yeah.
And Hermione gets up, sees her friends walking past, and Harry's like, oh, I don't. Oh, what if I'm no good or something along those lines? What is it? What if I'm rubbish?
Yeah, what if I'm trash? What if I can't carry my team? What if I'm ELO, like, sub-bronze?
What if I'm a real Luigi?
Yeah, there we go.
So then Hermione
comes up. What if I can't even make Elite Smash?
So Hermione shows up and walks up beside them and says, you won't. It's in your blood. Which sounds like a real fucking pure blood ideology, Hermione.
Yeah, Hermione. As someone who only has one generation of wizard in their blood, I would quiet down this blood remembers shit.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. That made me, okay, it's in his blood. Do you believe that, Hermione? I guess it's just like being a good friend. Like, no, you're going to be great.
Yeah.
I guess, but still, yikes.
No, dude, your dad has a thick dick.
Yeah, you must too. Can't wait to tell Ginny in 4 years.
Oh, boy.
And then we see his dad's trophy for being a seeker as well. Was he a seeker? I don't think he was. I think he was just on the Quidditch
team. I think
he
was the Quidditch captain, maybe.
Yes, he was a captain.
Which is separate from the most important role in the team and arguably the only role that matters at all.
Yeah, why is it just two seekers?
Yeah. Anyway, that's my theory, is that they found the person who made Quidditch was building off a one-on-one game.
Yeah.
And then they were like, well, listen, guys, it'd be nice if, I don't know, eight a side could play at once.
Yeah.
And so they added in a game that meant nothing. Just to add something just to like up the player count, get more people interested, get more personalities in, just so if one of these personalities catches on fire, you get them sponsorship deals and people are interested. But it's just all this game is a duel with a third party.
This is what it is. It's like in our world, someone looked at tennis and was like, could this be a team sport?
Yeah,
and like, then had nine people behind each person doing the haka just until one person won the fucking match.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like if every game of tennis had a bunch of people doing theater sports.
But
all of the theater sports was graded at the end of an hour.
Yeah.
And the winner of every tennis point just won.
And they were all also holding tennis rackets.
Yes. We're doing it too. We're like you,
we're
but
the
different.
Same.
Yay, we're the same.
So
we end up in one of the beautiful stairways of Hogwarts, don't we?
And we're about to see them go up. Cannot wait.
Yeah.
Cannot wait to see these three pre-teens ascend.
It's going to be so good to see someone climb one of these famous Hogwarts staircases.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the end of this scene. My favorite bits, I suppose, were probably, man, I really just like that. I think it doesn't really count as a part of the scene, but just the absolute social contract whiplash of like, this kid fucked up majorly. Let's give him a job is just fucking rules to me. Like, McGonagall is so fucking badass. Like, everything that she does, like, she's the teacher that, like, is just like so stern and then every now and then just winks at you for saying come under your breath.
I've had a sip or two of that in my time.
Better than pumpkin juice.
I love our Scottish people. They sound like a mix between an Irish person and a theremin.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, I am an instrument to Bill Bailey list, I guess.
I think my favorite moment was definitely when McGonagall interrupted Quirrell's Defense Against the Dark Arts lesson, and he was like, because she just caught him holding an iguana in front of a bunch of kids.
Yeah,
I love that.
He transfigured his dick into a big lizard that sat on his shoulder.
What do you all think of this?
So, any facts that you didn't get around to in this scene, baby?
No, I don't believe there are. I got everything I wanted out.
In that case, Tom, how do you feel about Harry Potter?
I have no strong feelings about Harry Potter.
Okay.
Demi, if I have one question for you, it's this. How do you feel about Harry Potter?
No strong feelings.
All right.
Bye.
See you next time.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.